Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection podcast, episode number 429 for July the 8th, 2017. I am your stand-in host, filling his regular spot, which he never misses, Fraser Moores. And I am joined by the one and only hero and legend, Greg DeLacy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I'm very excited about this. It's been a long time since I've ever podcasted, so happy to be here.
It's great to have you, Greg. It's wonderful to be in charge. It's wonderful. I haven't been on for ages.
I know. You've been slacking. You've been like off on holiday, vacation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Do you call it holiday or vacation, first of all?
I would call it either. Probably a holiday.
All right.
Okay. I heard somebody call it, who was it? It was, sorry, and we'll get to our the main man in just a second. Let's introduce Mark. Mark is here, the one and only nicest man on the internet, Mr. Mark Hannix.
Hello. Hello. How are you doing?
Not bad.
Good. You managed to drag yourself off.
How are you, buddy?
Super exciting show right now.
Yep.
The energy level is off the charts.
I should have said, I have probably thrown him off there because I should have said that Mr. Mark Wright, because then you go into your Mark Hannix speech, don't you?
Yeah,
but I said Mark Hannix.
Yeah. Mark Hannix on everything, so that's where you can get me.
Yes, good. Get you. Yes, vacation or holiday? I would probably holiday.
Okay.
But I heard somebody call it annual leave.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds very corporate.
Military. It's
yes.
Odd.
That's what we call it at work. You're on annual leave. Yeah.
Did you say what you would call it, Mark?
Yeah. Well,
really?
At work, I call it annual leave, but at home, it's a holiday. Like, yeah. I've got 3 days annual leave next week, but through work, but I'm on holiday.
So yeah, that's an odd one for me. Yeah. I've never really worked anywhere where we've called it that. So,
yeah.
But, excuse me while I take a drink. No, I haven't actually been on – have I been on holiday? I go away. I go away at the weekends. I've not actually like officially been taking any time off. But it's just busy Saturdays, man. And you know, this is the best podcast in the world, as everyone knows. And what's so wonderful about it is that the cover we have, the depth of of talent, the depth of the talent pool, the fish in that
roster.
Pool, the fish in the talent pond. Oh, it's amazing.
Yes. It's kind of one of those funny things. I think for like the past like month and a half, maybe 2 months, it's like every time, every weekend, it's like, nope, not here, not around. Off in the woods, you know, leaving the kids behind. I'm you're no longer curling. I know that.
Yes. Actually, that's true. So I had a lot of cub commitments. So I was a cub leader. Leader for 2 years. That is over now. I have retired from my scouting. I did my 2 years tour of duty. My son decided he didn't want to – he finished Cubs this year. So he decided he didn't want to go into Scouts. He's hit that age where it's touch and go. And, you know, if you are that sort of person who wants to keep going, you know, at that age of 11, 12, going up into Scouts, there's kids who –
It's a big step. It's do I carry on my Scout career or do I retire, and pursue other interests? So.
Exactly. Yeah, so I understood that.
I did the Scouts. I did the Scouts. Right. I got up to, I think, first class. And then I said, I am out. Because they, at that point, they started really caring about, like, the uniform. And I was never about the uniform. I was always like, I want to be able to wear, like, jeans and be comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't the best scout leader in the world. I was more like hired muscle. Like, just point me, tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what I was okay with like rousing the kids and doing stuff. Terrible at planning. Terrible at, you know, and I didn't like the indoor meetings and stuff. I loved going on outdoor hikes and stuff like that. That was pretty cool. But as well, you know, you looked across this sea of children that you're sort of looking after, and some of them would have badges all the way up their arms and every right. badge possible. And then you look at my son, and he's got one of the badges is just missing, hanging off, and he's got basically collected no badges over the years. So he really didn't have that sense of commitment for it. So fair enough, whatever.
All right.
So that's good. So that's freed up. Yeah, that's freed up another Saturday. So and the thing is, my parents, it's got to be some sort of Freudian slip. My wife and my children are away for 2.5 weeks.
Right.
So
you are just in bliss right now.
I'm on annual leave.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Now you're on annual leave. This I buy into. So I think the question on everybody's mind right now. Do you actually have pants on? Have you actually put pants on all week long?
I'm quite an adult, actually. I'm quite mature in that sense. You know what it's like when you get to when you're seasoned people like ourselves. You get to that sort of routine is easier than falling out of routine.
Right.
So I get up, I have my shower, I get dressed or whatever, and then I just get on with my day. So yeah, it's good. I haven't really lounged about much, but okay. Yeah, it's good. I enjoy it.
So you didn't answer the question. Do you have pants on right now?
I do. I have shorts okay. on. I have shorts on.
Shorts. Okay.
Yeah, it's hot here, Greg. We are
really?
In the middle of good summer. Yeah, good summer weather here.
What do we consider hot?
Let me see. I have to tell you. It's hot. I'm sweating right now. I have too cheap to put on the air conditioning. Let me see here. Tell us about where you are.
So right now it is 41 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Oh, shoot.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That is hot. We're only at 24 with humidity. We've got humidity. Well, 24.
That is not hot.
24 plus humidity. It's very
humidity,
nice.
Humidity sucks. I will just throw that out there.
Yeah, so I haven't got my air conditioning on. That's probably why I'm really, it's quite muggy. So
We were about 22 degrees today. It's been nice here today. For the UK, but 41, yeah. Jesus Christ, that's a killer.
Yeah. And here's the funny part.
Robin
flew out to this. Yeah, because it's about the same down in Los Angeles where he is right now.
Yeah.
In the city.
Yes. And the first text he puts, he didn't put, oh, I'm here, we're having a great time. He put, God, it's warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you step out of the plane, you know you're in another country. That's, that's good. Right about now, Robin. So right, yeah, Robin's flown away, doing one of his super trips. He should, I reckon, right about now, be in the full swing of jet lag. Absolutely, be destroyed by it. I would think. maybe going that way is not too bad. It's the other way, maybe it's worse. But so,
well, and so he texted me yesterday around 3 p.m, and he said they're still on obviously UK time. So that was like, you know, midnight or 11-ish. What time is it right now, Mark?
10 past 11, yeah.
Yeah. So I know they were kind of affected by that coming off the plane because, I mean, obviously they're thinking it's like 11 p.m. at night, but it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know if it's going to be worse now or going back.
I think going back, going the other way is worse.
Yeah.
I know I got told by my wife today that my kids slept 13 hours last night. They're in the middle of adjusting, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been keeping myself busy. I'm in the process of building something. I started my projects get on board projects. I'm building a bed.
You're building a bed?
Yeah, I've built my daughter a bed.
Okay.
And my son decided that I was going to build him one too. So I'm following the same plans of the bed I built about 6 years ago for my daughter or whatever it was.
Okay.
And I'm building him a bed. It's cool. So cut all my wood, started staining it, and I'll put it together. Good, solid bed. It's cool.
That's exciting.
Remember not to do his pink.
Right, yes. Painted.
Yeah,
wood.
I was going with some sort of a cherry stain. I decided not to do that. Now I'm with this sort of a dark walnut.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
This is a side of you I did not know.
I always take on projects when they go.
I know the project part, but I mean, like, the actual, like, building, like, so, I mean, putting together, like, a full-on bed, you know, that's not a small task.
No, it's not as difficult as it sounds.
Unless you're just going to fucking throw some sticks together with glue and a couple nails. I mean,
no, these beds are solid. These things will last like they're heavy as you like. All full 2x2x4, 4x8 cedars or 2x8s and what for headboards and stuff.
Now, do you actually slot them? Do you slot them so you can take them apart easily, or
there'll be screws and doweling to give them rigid support between the braces or wherever the points that they meet, and then to good like. Big screws in there. It's solid. It'll last a lifetime. Right?
Do we not sell beds?
Thanks again,
Canada,
everybody, for tuning in to this week's Carpentry Podcast.
Yeah, your Mark is saying, do they not sell beds in Canada? They do, man. But I mean, you go buy a bed. These beds, no, I'm not joking. Like the bed I'm making and the bed I made for my sister, they will last forever.
Yeah. Right? It's like Gary.
It's night and day.
Gary Amras89 on Facebook today put that he'd made his own noodles and he had them all sort of like hung up on a thing. And Peds and I both at the same time sort of like replied to him saying, can't you just buy them in a packet?
Yeah. Well, there's some things like where you know, you have to cut your losses or whatever. I was talking to a guy. Okay, so I have a story the other day, right? So where I work is a load of warehouses. Anyway, and at the end of the warehouses is a tire place, and then between the tire place and us is an auto shop. Anyway, so this wild turkey flew was in town. I don't know why this turkey was in town, but it flew into the tire shop window, was dazed and confused, walking around the parking lot, and walked into the auto shop where the mechanic in the auto shop proceeded to grab a 2x4 and hit this turkey, killed it, and they plucked it. Gutted it and cooked it in the mechanic shop and had turkey the next day for lunch. They ate the turkey. Couldn't have landed in a worse spot. So I was very impressed that they did that. I never actually came. I got invited to go eat some of the turkey. I decided I didn't want to eat auto shop turkey.
Yeah. But mechanics there. But what a bloody bunch of animals.
The mechanics, I don't know. They're so funny. The stories.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah,
that really is.
I work in a trailer park. The stories that come from that place are unbelievable.
Are there any dogs and cats that live around there either? Or, I mean, is it like any animal subject to...
I don't know. Who knows?
Stew.
Who knows what they would eat? Yeah. I don't know. But I say that because I was talking to another guy who lives out in the country, and he said he has wild turkeys on his farm, on his property. And I said, oh, you know, can you shoot them? And he's like, yeah, you can shoot them if you want. I said, so do you shoot them? And, you know, so you get free turkeys, right? He goes, no. Why? By the time you've wasted plucking them and gutting them, whatever, I'm just going to – no way. I'm going down to the supermarket. I'll just pay my, like, 15, 20 bucks and get a frozen turkey. Thanks very much. So, yeah, you pick your battles, right? So yeah,
I'm with your friend there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like those people who sort of go in on a quarter of a cow, right? You ever get that thing?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you've got a freezer full of so much meat that you never really are going to get through.
Before it starts getting freezer burn, starts going kind of bad.
Sounds good at the time.
Yes.
So we have we have some stuff in story time. I'm waffling along here. Greg DeLacy, you have here a couple of things.
I actually have a number of things to talk about. So I went and saw the movie Megan Levy.
Okay.
So I know.
I saw you wrote that. I never heard of it.
On the surface, it's not a very well-known movie. You know, it's getting overshadowed by all the summer blockbusters, but it is a movie about a female bomb detection handler and her dog. It's based off a true story. Went to Iraq, and it is a fantastic movie. It's a really good movie. I went into it a little skeptical. Didn't know
now
what
you
to
mention
expect.
It. I think I have. Yeah. Who's the lead in that? Who's the girl?
I don't recall her name. There were not a bunch of known
isn't it
actors.
The girl from House of Cards.
I don't know House of Cards, so
okay.
I'm going to be no help to you there. But it's good, and the story itself made national headlines in the U.S. because she fought. You know, part of the story is, you know, basically talking about getting recognition for her dog, and I won't go any further than that and elaborate on it. But it is a really well done movie, and a story that I wasn't familiar with. So
yeah, Kate O'Mara. She was.
She was in Game of
Kate Mara. She was. She was in the House of Cards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zoe Barnes.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, that was an excellent movie. So I highly recommend that. Mm-hmm. A great date movie if you have somebody to take with.
I don't. Right, I just probably you would say that to me right now. When I'm sitting at home alone crying.
This is the impress your wife when she comes back. Say, honey, I got a movie for us to go see.
If she comes back.
Right. If she comes back. I'm assuming she will. I'm assuming she will.
So.
Of course, we had the 4th of July this past weekend. So celebrating kicking the British out of America. No applause, nothing.
No, we should have mentioned that's where I was last weekend. Okay, well done for having your July the 4th celebration. We had July the 1st, which is Canada Day.
Right, okay, so we need to talk about this. What is Canada Day? I need to know this.
Canada Day celebrates the formation of the Dominion of Canada, which was back in 1867.
Was there a war? Was there some kind of like revolt?
No, it was just when they got together and had to draw up what Canada was going to be about. I mean, we had some scraps with the Americans before that.
Okay. All right.
But they drew. Funnily enough, I think they drew up the whatever you call it, the charter or whatever, at Downton Abbey, where they filmed Downton Abbey. That was where it was.
Oh, okay.
So interesting.
Do you guys have, like, fireworks at all? I mean,
yeah,
is it a big celebration?
Our July 1st is your July 4th.
Okay. All right.
But this one was particular because it was the 150th. It was the 150th anniversary. So, yeah.
Nice.
So it's been it's a special year for Canada. So there's lots of things going on around the country. So, yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. Yeah, no, we also, celebrated and did the fireworks show. So the town I live in, I think they spend about half their yearly budget on a fireworks display for the 4th of July. But it is well worth it. I mean, we literally were probably, maybe 150 feet away from where they were launching the fireworks from. And it was the equivalent of what you would see in like a baseball stadium. I mean, nice. Big, huge fireworks blasting up there. And it went on for a good 25 minutes-ish. And good show. And also, this is also one of those situations where the town is small enough to where they don't quite get all about, the regulations and stuff because they weren't firing these up fairly high. So a lot of times we were seeing like streamers from the fireworks coming down into the crowd.
Nice.
Nothing like making you feel a little bit safe there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, and then last thing to talk about. So every once in a while we'll go to a home show. I don't know if you guys are familiar with home shows, but around here they call them home shows. Basically, it's a trade show where a bunch of vendors will, they're all basically trying to sell you stuff. And it's, home related, backyard, front yard, kitchen stuff, that kind of thing. So we like to go to those because you get good ideas for what you might want to do with your house, that kind of thing. And they're just kind of fun in general. You just walk around, you grab a beer or something like that, and you enter a drawing here and there. Well, it turns out one of the drawings we entered, we won, and I got the call yesterday. So we're going to get basically about $700 worth of free rollout drawers installed in our kitchen.
Nice.
So, yeah. I was like, hey, all right, yeah,
I'll take that. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have entered it if you didn't want to win it.
Yeah. No, they actually had come out. They measured, and we were like, well, we're going to hold off for now. So, we had thought about actually purchasing them before, and we held off. And then out of the blue, they called us up and said, yeah, we drew your name.
Nice.
Like, that was like 6 months ago, but okay.
That's all right. That's good.
Yeah. So
do you win a lot of stuff? Are you one of those people? My wife wins everything she enters.
Yeah. So we've been pretty lucky, I have to admit. So back in the Bay Area, when I used to live in San Jose, we went to another home show. And, it's one of those things where you go to these home and garden shows and they ask you to enter into these things. Depending upon the show you go to, sometimes they're, maybe it's bad weather. Especially if it's raining, go because not a lot of people go to them. They have these drawings. So your odds of winning are much better. Mm-hmm. So we went, we entered into this one contest for a $10,000 backyard makeover and we won. Now, granted, we lived on a third story condo with no backyard.
Right.
So the contractor was like, look, we can't, obviously can't give you a backyard and it's non-transferable. He said, but we want to do something nice for you. So they actually ended up contracting out and building a custom entertainment center. And I say entertainment center, but really what it was a custom bedroom unit for my son. And because of his special needs, they created a special bed that rolled out They had nice. Some stairs that came down so he could practice walking. And it was, I mean, one of the most awesome things ever. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Mark, you ever win anything?
Nah. Nah, I never win anything.
Nah.
No, I'm not a lucky person.
No.
He did try to win. He won a new schedule for his job.
Yeah. No, I didn't win that. I was told. I was given notice.
Yeah, I can't think. The only thing that jumps out is me, I entered on a whim. I don't know why I did it. I entered a competition or just something that you fax in your name.
Right.
And I was at the office sitting next to my fax machine reading motorcycle news. And I said, I'll fax it in or whatever. And I won a Ducati Dionysi motorbike jacket. Beautiful. Like,
wow. That's got to be nice.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds. Well, worth a ton. It's really nice. And the blue. Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it for me for story time.
All right, Mark.
I've got round to watching Wonder Woman this week.
I would like to see this.
Yeah, I was a bit sceptical, sure. But I'd heard people say it was good. Greg said it was good, because a lot of the DC movies have been quite a bit of a letdown, yeah. Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Batman vs. Superman, by the way, ironically, Wonder Woman was kind of a highlight into that movie.
Yeah, and Gal Gadot, she's stunning anyway, so you can watch her doing anything and it wouldn't matter.
Let her lasso me.
I really enjoyed it. It was like a origin story, wasn't it? Telling you where she came from, how she came to be and joined the Justice League and that was. So yeah, really, really enjoyed it. I was a bit, I wasn't sure about the end with the sort of like the bad guy at the end. I thought that was a,
Magic. That's exactly what I heard. I haven't seen it, but I tried to sort of pull my earphones out, not get spoilers while I was driving
the
other day.
I'm not going
to
spoil it, yeah.
But I heard the first couple of acts are great, and then the third act tends to just, it goes a bit wayward and doesn't really do it justice.
Yeah.
But if you can get over that, it's a great
movie. It's a decent ending. It's just, it's not what I expected, but I suppose that's a good movie, isn't it? Doing a good plot twist, so.
Yeah.
Yes, really good. Really good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they I think they did Wonder Woman right.
Yeah.
I actually liked
it. They do her right.
Well, I it's funny because I think back to when I used to watch, I mean, you know, every young lad watched Wonder Woman as a kid.
You bet.
That was, and then you disappeared into the bathroom for a while.
I think I was about 7 or 8 when Wonder Woman was on TV, because I remember watching it with a family, and my little puppy used to sit in my legs, and did she have a glass plane? Or am I just imagining this? All right, okay.
It's
the invisible jet. Yeah. It's the invisible jet, but it was a glass plane in the show.
Okay. Linda Carter was the name, wasn't it?
Yes.
Linda
Carter. I thought, you know, it's funny because she had this relationship, and I already forgot the guy's name, the military guy. Drawing a blank
In the new movie.
Well, in the new movie, she also had the relationship with him in the television series.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, yeah.
But
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's Steve something, I want to say. But anyway, she, you know, I felt like that story was told much better in the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas in the television series, quite honestly, that relationship was much, it didn't have kind of that, that romantic undertones to it.
Steve
was all
Trevor?
Kind of Steve Trevor, yes,
yeah,
thank
his
you.
Name, really?
I don't know. So, you know, looking back at the television series, I was just like, okay, that, you know, it all makes sense now, their relationship, so much more based off the movie than it was then. And I'll be honest, the way they handled that relationship in terms of the entire story of it, in the movie, I actually was surprised by, because I didn't see some of that coming. And again, trying to avoid some spoilers for people.
Yeah.
But yes.
I have to say that the thing I remember about the TV series is that Linda Carter was way harder as Diana Prince than she was as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The glasses, and they do a little kind of homage to that in the movie.
Yeah,
she dresses up as Diana Prince for just a brief period of time.
Yeah,
right.
But in the movie, she's equally hot as Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
good stuff. Yeah. Okay, well, it is a video game podcast.
Oh, is it?
Is it?
Apparently so.
Who'd have thought?
Okay.
Rumor has it. Let's see what we've got here. Then running in no particular order. So let's split it up. Then we'll start with Greg. Greg's got some. You know what I got. You know what I'm bringing to the table. So let's just
right,
go.
Right. I know you're going to be talking about Call of Duty. So let's start with Van Helsing Death Trap.
Oh, you bastard!
This was one of the Xbox Live freebies they gave away a ways back, and. You know, I downloaded it. I've had it sitting on there. So I finally decided, you know, I'm going to take a chance and see what this is about. Because I had heard it was a tower defense game, which also threw me off. Because
I thought it was a Diablo game.
Yeah.
Type.
I was under the impression it was something completely different. It is absolutely 100% a tower defense game.
Is it?
Then it could be there's another Van Helsing game.
Yeah, because
I think Kim was playing it, wasn't she?
Yeah, the original Van Helsing game.
There's been a number.
A Diablo clone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the one Kim was playing was the Diablo clone. This one, 100% a tower defense game. And I will just say one of the more complicated, like, deep tower defense games. And they go out of their way to explain that to you. When you go through the tutorial, it's kind of funny. The very start of the game. It's like they beat you over the head with this has hundreds of options and different, you know, ways of upgrading your, you know, your different traps and your different, you know, perks. And I mean, I was just like, okay. And also, I'm pretty sure this was made by an Eastern European developer just because of that over, just the amount of effort they took to explain every little piece of information in the tutorial. And of course I'm watching the tutorial and I'm like thinking, good God, okay, just let me play the game. I'll figure some of this out. And then I start playing the game and I'm like, good God, let me go back to the tutorial. Because it is not real straightforward. And so
that seems a bit odd considering it's a IP. You know what I mean? It's not just a tower defense game for like it's based on an IP, right? A popular IP.
Yeah.
So you would think it would be a little bit more accessible.
Now, well, I think here's the reality. I think this was a PC game that got ported for console because the depth and the menus and everything just kind of scream PC. Like you should be seeing this on a monitor and using your mouse to select things as opposed to trying to navigate with a controller. So gameplay-wise, it's not horrible at all. I think just the amount of, you know, again, saying depth of the systems and learning all the different ways that you can combo up your different traps and things, that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. I think I will go back and play this some more. I was playing it kind of late at night as well, so it didn't help the fact that I was starting to get tired. So, you know, once you get tired and you hit a game that has complexity to it, it kind of starts washing over you and you're just like, I just want to play. I just want to get through this. But yeah, so if you're in the mood for a tower defense game and you've already played the defense grids, I'll say that because defense grid to me is like the top, like that is one of the best tower defense games I've ever played, hands down. Right. But this, you know, if you picked it up on, you know, from Xbox Live free, you know what? Yeah, I think it's worth a shot. Give it a go.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to continue or do you want to switch back? how do you want this to play?
I don't know. And you're going to move on to what do we want to, what do we want to jump? We don't usually jump from person to person.
I know.
Do
well,
we?
You said I mean, you're going to split this up between us. So this is craziness.
I maybe you misinterpreted that. Anyway, tell us about, I don't know. I'm interested in both of these. I don't know. Like, I'm interested in... Go, you choose. I don't care.
All right. Go. Wolfenstein Old Boy.
Yes, great.
Wolfenstein!
Best use of a pipe in a video game since I don't know what.
Yes, yes. You know, and I will just say a good, solid game. I think I liked New Order better.
Right.
It cuts different ways with different people. Yeah. I have a feeling that Mark preferred the old blood.
I prefer the old blood.
He told me that, and that's why.
I think and I heard Pilch over at Game Punchers preferred the old blood.
Yeah, and Pilch on the Boss Wave said he preferred old blood as well. But they're both really good games, so there's not much in it, really.
Not really.
I think Old Blood was more the traditional game, whereas the New Order had a few extra game mechanics in it. I just thought this was just so good. And like Fraser says, the pipe, where you get the pipe at the beginning and sticking it in a Nazi's neck, and you just can't beat it.
Yeah.
No, it was good. These downloaded, and I've got to go back to them.
Yeah. The pipe and utilizing it for climbing, that kind of thing, that was one mechanic that continually – so you can use the pipe. You break the pipe apart, and you can use it to climb up walls at certain areas. You know, you have to look for that special textured wall. And, of course, I always would forget about the stupid textured wall. So I'd be, stuck in a little pit, and I'd be like, how the fuck do I get out of here? And then suddenly I'd realize, no, there's the textured wall. You know, and you have to get up close to it to see the button prompt. So if you were far away, you would never know, you know, unless you obviously were paying attention, that that was a climbable wall. But I love that mechanic. And I love the fact that you can get to the top of it. Whatever you're climbing, whether it be a ladder or it be, you know, climbing up the side of a wall, when you get to the top of the wall, it gives you the option to peek up. So you can use the left bumper. You press the left bumper and you can peek up and you know, pull your gun out to, like, shoot somebody if you see somebody, you know, so you're not exposing yourself and getting out of, you know, climbing up all the way. Nice. So, yeah, I mean, it was great fun. And I will just say this also. This is a game that if you are just looking for some fun and you don't care about the challenge aspect of it, just throw this on casual and go have a blast. Mm-hmm. Be the badass. Go through and just lay waste to everybody and don't worry about dying because you won't. And you know what? It's going to play just as good as it would if you were playing it on a hard difficulty.
Yeah. I have to admit, I played it with the easier difficulty. And it's funny because the difficulty settings on the screen, if you put it on the easy one, he's got like a dummy in his mouth and he's got a pink baby bonnet. But fuck it, I'm a man. I don't care about that shit. I'm doing it on easy. I want the story. I can't play it on hard anymore. Yep.
Yeah, Wolfenstein. The first thing, I mean, where the old blood came from. I mean, that was such a surprise because we had Wolfenstein: The New Order, which was a phenomenal game. Did exactly what it set out to do, a la Doom and some other games, which is great. You know, here it is. This is what we're setting out to do, and it did it so well. And then the old blood just came out of left field. I don't know how they just – here you go. We just knocked this together. Here you go. Have this.
I will also say this. I kind of almost felt they could have been all part of the same game.
I think
– I mean, I really wish old blood had come first because, you know, just my OC – you know, the OCDC in me is like, you know, that needs to be – that's first, and then you go to the New Order.
Yeah.
Because it does literally kind of transition into the New Order. So it's kind of, you know, I played it out of order, so to speak. But they're still both great games, and I'm very much looking forward to the new Wolfenstein as well.
Yeah. Of course, yep. Yeah, it's going to be great.
So outside of that, I played a lot more of the Golf Club 2. We finally got our community up and running. Gary DiFelici.
Did he finally pull his finger out?
He finally pulled his finger out. Well, we said, you know, hey, we'll start up a club, and Gary's like, oh, I'll do it. And so then we found out that when you start up a society, and they call them societies, not clubs, but you start up a society, the president of that society is the only one that can make events. It's the only one that can accept people in. I mean, it's all on that person. So Mark and I both breathed a little sigh of relief that we were not the ones that created the society.
Nice.
And it's all on Gary. So and Gary, he's doing all right. You know, he slacked off for a little while, not creating events. And of course, we were all like, "Hey, come on, create something!" And then finally, He created
what else could he possibly be doing? Is he getting distracted by something else? I don't know.
He was too busy, like, painting the stupid clubhouse orange and blue.
He told me he was doing that.
Yeah.
Good old Gary.
I swear.
Anyway. Is it any good, the golf club, too?
It is. It improves a lot on the original game. There are a lot of options now, and I think that's really where I think the biggest improvement comes is that, one, it gives you a career. So there's a career mode. You earn money, and the money you then can use to spend on, you know, clothing, on, you know, just the visual things. You can join other societies and join events, and joining these events can be free depending upon the event. So there may not be a pot. It's just like, hey, play for free, no big deal. Or there are other events where it's actually, you know, you pay an entry fee to play, and then depending upon where you finish out, you'll earn money back. Right. So that aspect is improved, I think, because the original golf club, it was like you had one player model, you had a couple choices on, like, shirt colors, and that was it. Now you've got multiple faces, different hairstyles, you've got clothing options, you can be male or female. So they've opened that up. You also have three different club types now. That's another big improvement. So the original one, it was all about the one club. One club set, and it was kind of, you know, your skill with that club set determined how good or bad you were. So they've added the kind of three levels of clubs. There's standard clubs, which play very much like the original game. Then there is player clubs and tour clubs, and I believe it goes in that order. And so the player clubs are basically going to be a step up. They're going to hit a little bit longer. So you'll get more distance on your shots, but the accuracy is a little bit more finite. So if you're just a little bit off with your sticks now, suddenly your shots can go, you know, wide left, wide right. You can put that hook and slice into it much more easily. And that just gets even worse once you go up to the next level of clubs. So the trade-offs are you get better distance on your in your power shots, but you're going to also potentially be, you know, at the golf god's whim of accuracy.
So did you try my suggestion of using the longer stick because you got the Elite controller? Does that actually make a difference?
No. And I say no, that I didn't try it yet. Using my S controller right now. I haven't broken out my new Elite controller yet. So
right.
I don't know. It seems that would make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, you probably have a little bit more control over it.
Right.
Or it could make it worse, one or the other.
Yeah. And then outside of that, you know, they added a lot more aesthetic things. So in terms of the golf course design, of course, you had the great course design, creator package in the first one. They've brought that back, and they've just added a lot more to it. So there's more different building types. There's more different scenery that you can put in there. There's actual crowds you can now place in and around the golf course. And they have that same sarcastic guy. I think he's one of the developers, by the way.
Yeah, I remember that. Was great.
Yeah, so he's back in it. But interestingly, so when you're playing on your own, just solo playing on a course, he's totally that same sarcastic guy. However, if you get into an actual tournament, he changes, and he suddenly is much more like a golf announcer. He's talking all quiet. And Fraser's approaching the third green now. It's a long putt, and he's going to be happy with this one. So it's that kind of like dialogue, but it's, you know, hushed, muted, and then you hear the fans around the course will either be clapping or they'll just like straight up put their hands in their pockets when you make a bad shot. But yeah, it's great. Love it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Still one of the best golf games out there.
I don't doubt that. I felt that way. I didn't play tons of the first one, but I played enough of it to appreciate it. It was cool. It was really a nice surprise. Good. I'm glad it's still going. I'm glad they got the chance to make a second one.
And I'll just say this. If you are on Xbox, we have a VG Hub society set up. So just look for VG Hub and you can sign up and to join a society. Basically, you put in the join request, and then Gary, at some point or another during the course of the week, the month, whenever he decides to get to it, he will approve your joining the club, the society. But then you have to actually go in and join the society once you've been approved. It's kind of a funny thing. So it's like you ask to be let in. He says, yes, you can be let in. And then you have to go back and say, okay, yeah, no, I really want to be in. And so once you accept that second time around, then you're into the society and you can play in those tournaments. You can only join 5 societies, by the way. So they limit how many you can join.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But there's only one you really need to join.
Only one you probably really need to join, yeah. And it has a stupid clubhouse.
Mark, a couple of games on there?
Yeah. Well, the first one's your fault, really, Fraser, because you were gushing about this a few weeks ago. Dead Rising 3. I started it a long time ago, and I looked at my achievements, and I think my last achievement was early 2015, was the last time I played it.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know why I never went back to it, but I remember you saying that you had such a good time with it, and I thought, right, okay, I need to go back into it. And plus...
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, plus the fact that in the recent sale, we just picked up Dead Rising 4. So I thought, right, I need to get this done, get it out of the way.
Wait, what, wasn't that gifted to us?
Yeah.
Wink?
Yeah.
Wink?
Yolg. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Your secret's safe with me, gentlemen.
I didn't really do any of the side missions. I just ploughed on with the main story missions. But yeah, really good.
You can get that wrapped up. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I will freely admit, I mean, I just tried to plough through it. Yeah. And there are two things. One, I thought it was supposed to be a bad game. I bought it and I heard that it wasn't very good. And I think what I had in fact heard was that it wasn't very... In the series, 3 was a little bit... fell a little bit short.
Yeah.
So then I put it into my mind that, oh, it's crap. I've bought it. I'll never play it. And so when I did play it, started to enjoy it, it was totally like it just... You know, when your expectations are so low...
Right.
Well, I found this better than the other two because I thought the other two games were too hard. Right. Like, I'm not the best gamer in the world. And the first game was... The zombies, yeah, they were tough, but it was the psychos in the first game, the bosses, I couldn't beat them.
You know what it was about the first two games for me? It was that goddamn timer.
Yeah.
I hated the timer.
Well, this is a timer, but because, it's very generous.
Well, the timer in this is done so differently.
I had 3 days left when I finished the game.
Yeah. The previous games, I always felt like the timer prevented me from being able to explore and enjoy the world that they created.
Yeah,
which understand the timer. They had the timer in this one, and I didn't really. It said I was progressing in days, but I had no idea why or what it was.
Right. Basically, had 7 days before they dropped a bomb on the whole town to wipe out all the virus. So that's the premise behind the timer. Because the army was
I don't understand what the point of
bomb.
That is. Then why? I mean, not that I was ever under the under the hammer for it. Look, I freely admit I went straight to a walkthrough and found what the most powerful way to level up was, and got my God, what was it? That's scythe with the flaming goat's head. I don't know why.
My favorite weapon.
It was a hoot. Yeah. It was an absolute hoot.
My favourite weapon, I found it. I found the blueprint by chance, but I had heard of this weapon, so I knew it was a good one, was the light sword, which is basically a lightsaber. And that slices and dices the zombies in no time at all. Yeah. So, yeah, really.
I think my favourite item out of that was actually a vehicle. It was the combo motorcycle and the steamroller.
Roadhog, yeah.
Yeah. Freaking love that thing. Yeah. Just go plowing through just tons of zombies. Yeah.
And to say this was this a launch title or came out just after launch, didn't it?
Just after launch. I want to say it was the second year.
This still holds up gameplay-wise and graphically for me.
I really liked the tone of it. I know a lot of people took umbrage. They thought it was too dark. They thought it didn't carry on the, you know, they were trying to be too serious with it, but I found the visuals and the tone of Dead Rising 3 spot on for what I wanted.
It had massive amount of on-screen zombies, and it didn't really stutter, it didn't slow down, and yeah.
They throw a lot of bodies on that. It was very impressive. I mean, like I say, you know what, it just went way beyond anything I expected.
Yeah, and when you get to a certain kill streak, you can do a special combo move with certain weapons, and some of them are just so gruesome. But like one of the weapons I'd crafted was like a massive mallet, which was electrified. And when you got enough hits with that, when you press the Y and B buttons together, it does like an instant kill move on one of them. And this thing just like squashed a zombie and then just left it with a pair of legs and it just fell over. It's just absolutely awesome. Really good.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So yeah, completed it, finished it. It's, now, sadly, it wasn't on my Yolg list, so I wish it was now. But yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing Dead Rising 4 now.
Yeah, we'll get some co-op going.
Yeah. So yeah, really enjoyed that.
We'll talk Fraser into buying it.
I could. My son loved it. Loved Dead Rising 3.
Is it still on sale?
Great co-op. Is it?
Yeah. Two more days left, is there? 10th of July,
maybe.
Is it?
Maybe.
$30.
Yeah, okay.
And as Mark would say, cheap as chips.
Yeah, cheap as chips.
All right, I'll take a look.
The other game I've been playing, and this game, this is the one what Kyle sent me. He just texted me and said he'd heard me say I want to play this on the podcast. So, yeah, he sent me Horizon Zero Dawn, and this game is amazing.
You know, market's coming. This game
is the only game.
We've done this for too long with each other, I think.
This game is the only game what's kept me off of Battlegrounds this week. I've come home from work on a night.
In that.
And I didn't want to see it from the computer. I just wanted to relax on the settee and play it on the big screen. So the PC wasn't that much of an option. So I've just been playing Horizon Zero Dawn all week. Oh, it's fantastic. Right. Absolutely superb. I love it.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Yep. You said I wanted to sit and relax on the settee.
Couch.
What the hell's a
sofa? Okay, couch. Right.
That's new jargon. I've never heard that before.
Okay. Yeah, couch.
I'm just trying to, you know, help my American friends that are listening to this podcast understand what you're talking about.
So this game, you start off as a young child called Aloy, and you sort of like an outcast.
Aloy.
Yeah, well, in the game they call her Aloy, but yeah. It's,
do they?
Yeah. Because I thought it'd be Aloy.
Should have put Fraser right off.
Yeah.
I played it, so I know it's, I know. I love the name because I think it's very clever.
Yeah, because it's like the metal alloy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, this is like set in the distant future where mankind's built these machines, where machines have rebelled, and it's a bit of a Terminator situation. And we're sort of like back to like tribal, not caveman, we're a bit more advanced than that, but you know, that sort of like thing where you're hunting in that.
It didn't seem like, I'm just going to interject real quickly, it didn't seem like they were actually that much more advanced than cavemen, other than her.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody else seemed like they were fucking dragging their knuckles on the ground.
Don't talk to Greg about cavemen, right? We've had this argument before, right?
Okay. No, but the more advanced cavemen, so they don't live in caves.
Running around 100 years ago.
They have built houses.
I just saw one out my door.
They have settlements and stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, you start off as this girl, and you've been brought up by another outcast guy, the sort of like matriarchs of this community have entrusted with him to bring up this girl because they're both outcasts. And so it starts off, and then as you develop, you get older and things happen. You're invited back to the village to do what's called a proving, so you can become part of the tribe again. And then that's when all shit goes to hell and the story like really opens up. And there's some really good moments in the story as well. There's a few, oh my god, did that just happen? Things. So that's the story side of it. The gameplay side of it, it plays really, really well. It's a Guerrilla Games game. They did the Shadowfalls. It's nothing like Shadowfall. It's more like a Naughty Dog game. Did you get that feeling, Fraser?
I think that's fair, Shaq.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that Sony's? I mean, not to be derogatory here, but that's kind of been Sony. Sony has gone into the third person action game like full hog. Like,
But it's so slick.
Graphically, it looks superb. The audio's great, and the gameplay, the combat in it is really good. There's stealth elements. There's long range, short range bows you can use. You can use special chip mechanisms to either electrify or shock to blow them up and stuff. I don't want to go into
there's
too
more
much
than
detail.
One way to. I was just going to say, Mark, there's more than one way to skin a cat, which is nice with it. You know, you're not. There's no completely linear routes to taking things down because I wandered off the beaten track and found these massive machines wandering around.
Yeah. And the tall rider. I found one of them by chance.
And I took them down by just hiding up in the mountains, keeping away from other things, and just, you know, took probably half an hour just lobbying, taking little tiny chunks of health off, but probably pushed myself through a part of the story I wasn't yet meant to get to, know, or killed things. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It was really cool.
Yeah. The machine creatures in this, the way they behave, they just behave like animals. It's a bit weird, really, because there's some called grazers, and you see them grazing on the grass, and you think, well, it's a machine. What's it grazing for? But, yeah, it's really good. On the screen now, it's just showing you some stuff where she's trapped one with some ropes, and now she's just... As you progress in the game, you get a device where you can actually control them so you can ride them, use them as mounts. So, yeah, and also in the game, I won't say how because it's a spoiler, but Aloy gets the ability to see things what you wouldn't normally better see, so she can interact with things differently.
I see dead people.
Yeah, so that's another game mechanic which plays into the sort of like stealth element and working out where the creatures are going to be going to and that. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
It's got a little bit of everything that it needs, right? Yeah, it's got the good. It's got good combat. It's got a nice open world. It's got good characters. It's well made. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
There's the skill trees. There's exploration. There's the OCD collecting, which I got into for a bit, and campfires or whatever, and all the hidden journals or whatever. It's been a little while since I played it, but. It's got a bit of everything. I think anyone could pick that.
Harley Dan also is saying that the use of the controller speaker is a nice touch.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they utilize that.
Yeah. They're doing a lot of PlayStation 4 games. It is a nice touch, is that speaker. It just adds that bit of immersion into the game.
Well, what does it do, if I may ask?
I can't remember exactly what we're doing.
I'm assuming it makes sounds.
When you release a bow, you let it go from the speaker and stuff.
So the bowstring sound, that kind of thing. Yeah. So your weapons kind of come from there as opposed to the screen.
Yeah. I mean, like, not in this game, but in other games. Like, do you know if you're on, like, an intercom and someone's talking to you over the radio, it'll come out of that speaker. So that's quite cool. What was I going to say? You put me off now.
Sorry.
No, it's gone.
Come on, Mark. Come on.
Gone. I do fully expect this game will be in the running for Game of the Year and the year.
Yeah.
Just the amount of praise it's gotten, and I mean, just even from like an outsider looking in, the visual polish, the animation, everything. I mean, it looks like it deserves to be in that conversation for sure.
I binged it. I must have sat down and just binged about 8 or 9 hours in one day on it. And I thought it was fantastic. I overdid it and I overcooked myself on it a bit and sort of fell out of favor. But
I've been doing that.
Amazing.
I've been doing a couple hours a night on it, so it's just a nice chunk. I remembered what I was going to say as well. I've not got that far into the game, but I'm already wanting it not to progress too quickly because I'm enjoying it that much, so I'm trying to do all the side missions as well, but I haven't even got to the cauldrons yet. I've heard like Richard Natras and yourselves mention these cauldrons, and I'm guessing these like little dungeons, like extra things, I don't know, but yeah,
right.
I'm looking forward to sort of like getting in my first cauldron and stuff.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah. Good. Anything else, Mark?
No, that's it. That's all I've had a chance to play this week. No PUBG.
PUBG, what's that?
Yeah. Fraser, do you want to talk to us about your Call of Duty experience?
Yes, Call of Duty. What an excellent game. No, unfortunately, I hate to disappoint you. I've not been playing Call of Duty. I've been playing nothing but PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. This game. I have not been so consumed by a game since Rust. So people may recall, those who listen to Game Punchers would have heard me had my Rust section, Rust time.
Right.
It's not consuming me. Rust consumed me in a way that was just detrimental to my health. I don't even want to go back and think about what that game did to me. Right. But I just wanted to play it, and I'm drawn like a moth to a flame, I think, to everybody knows the premise of Battlegrounds, right? And the premise of Rust and that sword of Damocles that hangs over you, the permanent death, right? So Rust had it with the fact that you could at any point get attacked and killed, and everything you had worked hours and days for could be lost. And that level of fear and protection, and it created some of the most amazing gaming moments that I'd experienced. And this is doing the same. This has that finality, but the best thing about it is the game is over. Like it's either over in 5 minutes or it's over in 45 minutes or whatever. It's not going to extend beyond that. So I'm not walking away like I did with Rust and worrying about my settlement while I was at work and stuff like that.
Now, quick question. So I know there's squad play that they introduced. Is it limited to four? What's the squad sizes?
Yeah, so we, where possible, we have a great community now. So I did say at some point I got to run through and give props where props are due. But this, yeah, so you can play singles. So I started playing singles. I was drawn to this game because you start off and you want to play singles, and it's you landing on this island with 100 people, and can you make it to the end? And it's the most scary, stressful experience,
trying to survive. That's the ultimate, you know, Battlegrounds experience right there. Single player, that is it.
That is really it. Yeah, I think that's the pure Battleground. Battle Royale, right? You, can you survive and get to the end? And I mean, I haven't made it to Last Man Standing. I've made it to number two. And quite frankly, I can die a happy man having made it to number two.
You didn't get the chicken dinner.
I didn't get the chicken dinner on a number one, but that may come, right? You know, I made it to number two, and it was just down to that last kill. Anything's possible.
Number two is like you got the bag, but there was no chicken dinner in it.
No, somebody was sitting there and showing me the chicken dinner. Yeah. Yeah, he ate it and walked over my dead corpse, right? But the thing, and I played a bit of that and was fascinated by the premise and loving the premise of the game. It was exactly what I wanted. I had always been looking at H1Z1 or King of the Kill or these games, you know, that had been in the background and had I never felt were fully fleshed out or were quite what I wanted to jump into. So this ticked all the boxes and for a good reason. This is what the guy who invented this type of game is making, because this is the actual game he wants to make.
Right.
But where the game really opened it up was once we started playing online with each other. Right. And now we suddenly have all the guys coming in. We have Discord. We're all hail Mark and his bringing forth of the Discord. So we're all on Discord chatting away to each other, and we're playing either duos or we're playing, you know, it's very rare that anyone's playing on their own. So yeah, we're playing duos and we're playing squads, which is four man. Sometimes we'll play three man. So you can play three man and jump in a squad game.
Okay.
And it's just a riot. It's just creates so many moments. And I think Mark probably said this in some of the previous shows. I'm just repeating probably what he said. But I mean, I have never laughed. I haven't laughed in video gaming for as much as I am laughing now. And I would, hand on heart, say, and I've always said that probably one of the most important video gaming times of my life was when I discovered Halo 2 and online gaming. Mm-hmm. I think this just blows that out of the water. I think this is so much more fun.
Okay.
And there's
that's high praise.
It's very high praise, and there's just something amazing about playing in squads with these guys and working as a team, and having a number of things going on, having games where you're having a laugh and creating these moments where you're in absolute hysterics at some of the antics that are going on. Having games where somebody dies in your team straight away, and then rather than you guys carry on and try and win, you just go for revenge and just chase people down and just have a hoot doing it. Yeah. Or you suddenly have that game where suddenly things start to get real and you really could make it to the end. And we've won, right? We've won some games too. So it's possible, you know, and you're working as a team. You're not just having a hoot anymore. You're now – the reason we've won is because – not because we're – you know, we have some very good players, obviously, amongst us, and I'm certainly not claiming to be one of them. But what we do have is the ability, you know, with you know, certainly a good proportion of us, good communication, the ability to keep talking, the ability to point out threats, the ability to share goods. I found this. Hey, I'm looking for this. I've got this. Share it out. Don't be greedy, you know, and make sure everybody's getting kitted out properly. Right. Then talking as a group and moving around into the map and playing the game as it should be played and having some incredible moments. It's just staggering. I am totally in love with this game. And I'm, honestly, right now, if we weren't recording, I'd be playing it right now.
And even though the premise of a game is the same every time, every game is completely different.
Each has its own
sort of like moments and funny things. It's just... and. Like Fraser was about the community we've got with this now, we've got a WhatsApp group for it, and I have never had that many phone notifications a day. It's unbelievable. I'm at work, and then I look at my phone, and there's like 150 bloody messages on WhatsApp, and these guys are playing it while I'm at work, or we're playing it while someone else is at work, and then everyone's saying, "Oh, you bastard, you can't do this, you can't do it. You're playing it without me." And the people we're playing with, they're just a great bunch of people. They're an absolute right laugh.
Yeah, there is no one in this group. So we'll do the props now because, you know, we're playing and spending so much time with you. So we have me, Bertha, Dan Knappman, Ben Jesse, who is one of Mike's friends, who we've been interested. You know, and this is the great thing. We meet these guys now. Right. We have genuine relationships with these guys now.
Real quickly, this reminds me so much of when Gears of War first came out. And I was playing Gears of War kind of on the multiplayer side of it, and I met a ton of people playing Gears, and you started getting your core group of friends, you met new people, but it had that element, kind of what you're talking about, that element of excitement. You had your laughs, you had this crazy, like, long sessions of playing through the course of the night, and you were meeting new people, and it just worked.
Yeah.
It worked on a level that you hadn't seen before.
It's just, it's that multiplayer gaming, but playing with people against real people, working his team. Anyway, I said it all, but it's just incredible. So yeah, we have Ben, who works with Mike, Dan Knappman, Bertha, Dave Fulu, David Morton, Morty. We've got your best friend Gary DeFelici. His son's been playing now too. Gary Lever, Marcanix, and Jay. We played with Jay. It's the first time I played with Jay today. Jay was awesome. He was great. He's really good. Great communication. Good to play with. John Sloppy Wetblow, who we've got, Kev, but the Scots guys, legendary Scots guys. I've got Kevin here, Mike Chin, of course, Real Kahuna, Neil, Robin Tate's in here. I'm not sure why. We got to kick that guy out at some point. He's but I think
his son Charlie
Bob. Yep.
The other legendary Scotsman, Sean, is in there, who is in there all the time, and then we have a second Sean as well, the Duke of Dork.
He's been on the Respawn Kings a couple of times,
so that's and that's just what we've got going now, and I don't see any slowdown. I can't.
Well, that was actually my next question is could you see yourself burning out on this?
I think so. I mean, I sense a little bit of change. Like, I'm far more aggressive now. You know, I'm playing better because I've put in 100 hours now of it. We're far more aggressive. We like to go down into areas now rather than, you know, hiding and sneaking and weaseling.
Right.
Now we're going down purposefully, you know, chasing down people. Much more aggressive. I think there's certain groups of us now when we're together, the expectations are a little bit higher as to how we're going to perform. Which I think is interesting now, and maybe when you have a disparity amongst people with experience, and you start want to just have to sort of manage your expectations of what you're going to get out of game. But then, you know, also helping people out who haven't put in the hours, you know. You know,
I'm really curious to see if this game will continue its wave of popularity, as the year progresses, because console is going to be brought into the picture. I know they were talking about crossplay as well, so that could be an interesting.
I don't think that's going to happen. I can't see how they can do it. Anybody with keyboard and mouse is going to destroy anyone.
Well, I think here's how they're going to do that. One, they'll have the option for console players to allow PC players in, allow mouse and keyboard players in or not. But for the controller people, the gamepad people, they'll give aim assist. I guarantee that's what's going to happen if they go that route.
Then why would the console players want to allow keyboard and mouse people who are probably going to own them? And why would the keyboard and mouse people want to play with people who get aim assist? I can't see it happening. But maybe I've been wrong about things in the past. Who knows?
We'll talk to your wife.
But I'm looking forward to it on the Xbox. I can't wait for it to go on the Xbox because I have a whole other group of people,
right,
like yourself, who is scared to take the leap into the console world.
And it's not that I'm scared to take the PC world. Leap.
No, I'm just right.
Straight up, it can't play it.
It's brutal, man. I am I'm pretty sure I'm on the cusp of what is my PC.
Right.
Could just about do it, right?
As they progress in the sort of like early access of this game, they are going to be optimizing it and it will run better eventually.
Well, they are optimizing it. People who are like, we played with John today and he said he hadn't played for a couple of weeks and he said, the changes in how it was running and stuff is.
Did they release the patch that allows you guys to kind of vault or hurdle?
Not yet.
Fences? Not yet. No. I think that's going to be kind of a game changing kind of moment.
Yeah, that will definitely. Because that will make a big change to tactics. Everything's pretty much set in stone. Yeah, most of the patches now, and they're weekly patches, there's stuff coming out. I think weekly we get bug fixes, and then every month there's a pretty major patch. Optimization is the big thing. But yeah, so going back to the console, I mean, I can't wait. I want to get up. My son's dying to play it. He's not a keyboard and mouse player.
Right.
He's played some matches and struggled. So, if we can play on the console and we can get some squads going and there's loads more of us who want to jump on, right? I think it's just fantastic game of the year, hands down. Okay, stop now, don't worry about the vote. I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn, good luck. I'll throw Horizon Zero Dawn, you can have second place if you want, I don't care. It's just I'm
for the fun factor. I'm I don't done. Think there's any game what can come
phrase is done
us.
It already cast his vote.
Yeah,
all right,
drop. I'm out of here.
Yeah, fun factor, there's nothing can touch this game. It is so much fun. You are in stitches. You're literally crying with laughter every time you play this, especially with Kevin, Sean, and those two. When those two were together, yeah. Jeez.
It's, right. Yeah. And look at Mike. Mike's the same. I mean, he's making videos. I'm watching. Yeah. I'm still going to bed almost, I would say, 5-6 out of 7 nights and putting on Twitch and watching an hour of people playing on Twitch still. Mm-hmm. I can't start. I can't get enough of it. It's really weird. But I don't care. And then there's people bitching that it didn't get a discount in the Steam sale. I'm like, you can go fuck yourselves. Seriously. What on earth are you talking about? This game has saved me so much money.
Greg, I'll tell you how bad Fraser's got it. I'll be at work and all of a sudden the phone will go off and it'll be Fraser says, right, it's my dinner break. I'll be on in 10 minutes. And he'll dash home. And then he'll have a few rounds of this. And I don't even know if he eats his dinner. And then he goes back to
work. I do. I eat my dinner. I go. I work, you have to understand, I work 3 minutes from my house. So, yeah, it's easy.
So he comes home in his dinner break just to play this game.
Well, why not? I walk in and I see my wife. She's at a desk. And I just go, hi. And I go straight downstairs.
Yeah. Hi.
And then I finish a couple of games. I come back and go, bye. And I walk back out again.
Yeah.
It's great. Great. So, yeah, I don't know what that's it. I mean, I haven't talked about it on the podcast to this extent. I haven't been on a podcast for ages. So, yeah, to to talk about it.
We've
got great.
This off your chest that you've been able to.
I love it.
Like a therapy session.
I've got a smile on my face just talking about it. It's great.
You do. It's great. You're beaming. You're glowing, Fraser. You're glowing.
I'm glowing. It's making me glow.
The yolk is out of the window now. Nothing else can compare.
No.
All right. What do you want to do next?
Well, yes. Well, let's move on to some news.
Here is the fucking news.
I love that.
I do too.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll put my hands up in the air. I've been playing too much Battlegrounds and building beds that I have no idea what news has been put in there. Greg, would you be so kind, perhaps?
Battlegrounds and building beds.
Yeah.
In other news, PS4 games are now available on PS Now. This was a you know, something that was talked about and teased out by Sony a few months back. They talked about bringing PS4 games to PS Now. And it's something that I, you know, honestly, for the service had been missing. You know, why they weren't there, I don't know. But they finally brought basically 51 newly added PS4 games, along with, of course, the hundreds of PS3 classics. You know, and again, this is a streaming service, so kind of instant play. But I think the real big thing that isn't getting necessarily talked about, PS Now is available not just on PlayStation 4, it's also available on PC.
So you don't even need a PS4 to play PS4 games.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
That was the thing I noticed straight away, was also on PC. And like you say, that's just in brackets right at the end, tucked away. Because
I put that in. They didn't have that in there. Yeah.
Right. So you think they'd be shouting that from the rooftops?
This is, again, kind of that evolution of console gaming going into being more of a services-based, and they're reaching out across aisles to the PC side and, you know, wanting to grab those PC players and say, hey, come play with us too.
But does this not beg the question, at some point, is the console not completely obsolete? Because then why do you at all need a console? You just need a gaming hub that can handle the connection to whoever is streaming you the service.
And you need the internet connection to handle it as well.
So,
Robin's
fault. I think there's validity to your comment there. You know, this really does beg the question of, you know, why do you need a console at all when you can play, you know, all the Xbox games on PC now. You can play PS4 games now through PS Now on PC. I think the reason why consoles will still exist, at least for a little while longer.
Oh, I'm not saying consoles would disappear straight away.
No,
but
no.
I would say a future scenario 10 years from now.
My ultimate thought on this is I think 100% that consoles will evolve into services-based gaming systems. They're not going to need hardware at all. It will be from a PC perspective that you access it, but it's going to be you're gonna dial into Xbox Live, you're gonna sign into PlayStation Now, and you'll play your games through these service hubs.
That is
the future, quite honestly, of Steam.
That's the future that we want now. Now, there's this game out there called Battlegrounds, right? Now, so many people are having trouble running that. Could you imagine if it was server based and all you had to do, you didn't have to worry about having that rig? No, I know, you know, but no.
That's the future. The problem is that, you know, there's still pockets of the world that just don't have the bandwidth. There's people like Robin Tate out there that have, you know, hamsters running his internet. And so, you know, they can't use a service like PS Now reliably. But does that mean that won't be something that Sony still pushes and gravitates to? I think they will. Because I think that saves them a shitload of money. If they could run, you know, servers in a controlled environment that basically are the equivalent of, you know, hundreds of thousands of consoles, or millions in the case of Sony right now, that they can just basically sell out a subscription to somebody to access that instead of having to create hardware that they take a hit on every time, I mean, that's a no-brainer. And that's exactly why they bought Gaikai. They look at this as the future of gaming. You know, don't kid yourself if you think that hardware-based gaming is the future. No, service-based gaming is the future, and it's the future for PC too, Because eventually, PCs are going to be merely just internet portals that you're going to log into through your broadband, you know, or however you connect to the internet, and you're going to dial into a server out there, and you'll run your services through that. You won't have a desktop. You won't have a PC. It'll all be through the cloud.
A lot of organizations and companies do that now, aren't they? We do at work. All we have now is it's called a little iGel box. It's just basically a little receiver box, like a thin client. Right. And all the processing is all done at headquarters. It's just all done over the internet now. The box itself has nothing in it. There's no hard drive, no memory or anything. It's just basically a connection to the main server. So yeah, that's going to be the future, I think. But
cool. Yeah. So. Okay, and I see your next piece of news here. Xbox One game gifting is coming soon.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exciting from a standpoint of, Steam does it.
Steam's
and I know
done it
that,
for a while,
that the community, I mean, our community has embraced it. I hear about people getting gifted games all the time. I've been gifted a game before. And so for consoles to embrace this, I think, is a fantastic thing. Because quite honestly, you know, Jason Johnson, you know, we basically kind of pulled together and got him XCOM 2 for console because, you know, he has worked hard for us over the years. And we were like, you know, hey, we want to do something nice for him. I would have loved to have just been able to gift him the game. Instead, we PayPal'd him and kind of handle it that way.
Yeah, right. But
I would have, you know, I think it's a fantastic idea and it's long overdue.
Yep. So that makes sense. I know. I agree. It's cool.
Yeah. Just to clarify, Alice,
you can gift me Battlegrounds when it comes.
It was Mike Ybarra, who's the corporate VP at Microsoft, to reply to a fan's question on Twitter, stating that it's not far off. So it's definitely coming.
Right. And real quickly, just getting back to the previous conversation, Harley Dan said, you're forgetting about PC enthusiasts. No, we're not forgetting about PC enthusiasts. You guys will still exist. You're just a dying breed, and that the industry itself is going to phase you out anyway. So you'll still have your PC enthusiasts. You're still going to have the people that are going to, you know, try and rebel and buck against the trends. But when Steam suddenly goes that route, when Xbox Live goes that route, when Sony goes that route, you're not going to have a choice.
Mm. Some important news. I know Greg's firing shots there at Dan. Some important news just came in on the tweets.
So
Bertha got a chicken dinner on his own in solos. Momentous
in
there.
Solo,
I'm not sure that's his first. He seems pretty skilled. He played with us the other day. I'm not going to talk about his boat antics. If you talk about my boat antics, this guy's boat antics. Anyway, well done, Bertha, on the chicken dinner.
Yeah. Chicken dinner reports.
We should have chicken dinner section.
We should have a chicken dinner section. Absolutely.
So good.
Also, probably what I'm having tonight for dinner. Chicken.
Nice chicken dinner. There's no community questions and feedback filled in here, so let's move on to my favorite jingle.
What?
Slacking off.
What we want in.
Trivia, come on!
All right, hang on.
Oh man,
I was halfway down the show notes.
All right, man, everybody get set. Get away from the windows. Now look, good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Love it. Okay, we have some trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Too kind. You're so kind. Have you ever seen The Elephant Man? That's my impression of The Elephant Man. So kind. Thank you very much. He's so kind to me. Jason has sent us some some questions. Number one, are you ready? You guys get to rack up some points here.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. This is my first time this season.
Okay. Number one, in the Pokemon video games, what Pokemon does Pikachu evolve into?
Fucking Jason.
I know. Does anybody play Pokemon?
No.
Is it A, Pichu, B, Pikablue, C, Raichu, or D, Mew?
I think I'm
sorry. Say the question again. the choices.
In the Pokemon video games, what Pokemon does Pikachu evolve into? Is it A, Pichu, B, Pikablue, C, Raichu, or D, Mew? It's Meryl. It's actually Meryl, but if you ever played Metal Gear Solid, in Japanese version, so not many people have played that. It's Meryl.
Mark, anyway. Do you have any clue?
Yeah, I think I know this because my lads plays a lot of
it. I feel good about this as well.
Yeah.
That I'm not.
Are you typing it into the notes? Okay, get ready to type in on the count. 1, 2, 3, type. I
feel good now.
Yeah, well, you both went for Raichu, and the answer is, in fact, C, Raichu. Well done, you two. Yes, well done. Nice.
Greg's beating Robin. Beating Nicole. He's beating Nicole.
Brilliant. Well done. Okay, question number two. Legacy of the Wizard was released for the NES in the US in 1989. What was the original title in Japan? Jabin!
Wait. Question. I'm bad. Legacy, I'm a bad player.
Legacy of the Wizard.
Legacy was released. Of the Wizard.
Legacy of the Wizard?
Is it called Ragasai of the Wizard?
Legacy of the Wizard! Was released for the NES in the US in 1989. What was the original title in Japan? Hey!
Well, do we have any options?
Is it A, Final Fantasy Side Story, B, Chronicles of Mystara 3, or C, and there's a D too, C, Dragon Quest 4, Crystal Warriors, or D, Dragon Slayer 4, Drazel Family? All right, let's start this one.
Yeah.
Okay, question. Legacy of the Wizard was released for the NES in the US in 1989. What was the original title in Japan? Was it A, Final Fantasy Side Story, B, Chronicles of Mystara 3, C, Dragon Quest 4, Crystal Warriors, or D, Dragon Slayer 4, Drazel Family?
Right, I'm ready. This is a total guess.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Really, you don't know that?
No.
All right, get ready to write down your answers. 3, 2, 1.
Differences.
Yeah, difference. All right, nice.
All right, can I real quickly, my thought process on this?
Yeah, go.
Japanese game, going to be ungodly long title because they over-explain everything. Right. And then I thought, Dragon Quest is the only game I really recognize there. So I went down that path.
What, you didn't recognize Final Fantasy?
Well, Final Fantasy Side Story just seemed to...
Well, I did the opposite. I went for the other game I didn't recognize.
Yeah. And then I remember hearing about a Dragon Quest, I think Chronicles, but I don't hear Chronicles. And then I was like, it can't be that. It's going to be something out there, left field. This is Jason we're talking about, so... Yeah. Long explanatory title.
I'm glad you went to all the trouble to explain to us how you got arrived at the answer D.
Yes.
Because it's the right answer.
Oh, no.
Yes, well done, Greg. You nearly pulled a Fraser where you talk about 5 minutes about how you got to the answer and it's wrong. But actually, you got it right, so that's good. Well done. 2 out of 2, Gregles. Not too shabby. Mark, what happened? What did you go for? A B.
B.
Chronicle. Yeah. Why did you choose that? Go on.
No idea. We're a guess.
There we go. Yeah, good questions, I guess. I don't know. I think I definitely would have got both of those wrong. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Jason. Thank you very much for that. It's always appreciated. You're a superstar. I love it. The fact that you did Japanese ones for me. I can live off that all day. It's great. By the way, we rented a book from the library the other day.
Not a video game.
No, I actually went to the library and got a book this time.
Did the librarian follow?
Guess what it was on? Guess what it was on?
Japan.
Correct. Japan. Yeah. We're thinking about going to Japan. Yeah.
Really?
I'm just so obsessed. I just want to go to Japan. My wife's like, sure, let's go to Japan. Okay, cool.
If you go to Japan, you 100% have to go to the robot bar.
Okay.
I think it's called the robot bar or robot restaurant. Basically, they have all the waiters and stuff are dressed up like giant Gundam robots.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we're hoping to take the kids if we do go. So it's the plan. We might not. I mean, that's a big trip. We got to figure it out.
Right.
But we're up for something different. So, yeah, we're thinking Japan could be the I might have to start learning Japanese. I don't know how bad that would be if you get over there and don't speak a word of it. It could
It depends on where you go, because I think some of the bigger cities, the larger cities, they're going to have a lot of English speaking Japanese people as well. So you'll probably do okay or get around enough. If you start getting into the outskirts, maybe some of the not so big cities,
we'll see.
You're going to end up eating monkey brains.
See. I'm up for anything. Mark, monkey brains? Mark won't even eat sushi.
No.
I love
Jesus
man.
Christ.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. It's wrong on every level.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Okay, so I'm just having a look here. Podcast Trivia Tracker. Is this up to date, the podcast?
That was up to date as of today.
Okay, so we have here... we can tell people who don't really know. Nicole was the winner of season 1 and 3.
Yes.
Mark was the winner of season 2. Really, I mean, the only other person who really should be in the running is Kim. The rest of us are screwed because, Mark, you should be actually. You're usually on regularly. Yeah. No, that's right. Mark and that's about right. Mark, Nicole, and Kim.
I've got
and the rest
points.
Of us are all screwed because most of us are presenting or not here.
Right.
So, but as it stands right now, Robin is on 1. Mark's on 3.
I'll be on 3 right now, yeah.
Kim's on 2. And Greg is in second place on tied 2. Yeah, 2. What? No, tied for second
tied
place.
Tied for
2.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm having to do the calculations in my head. It's not working very well.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, great.
It's not in metric. It's in standard. So,
Yeah, I don't know. It's all good. I do some Eastern-West conversions and stuff like that. Now half my head's in Japan. Right, events and happenings. New releases. We have 20. This is all you guys have done on this. Oh, there's not much going on, is there, on the new releases?
Right. The date is wrong, but I have updated the new releases. It's better than last week. Last week there was 0.
Okay. There's no one releasing video. I mean, I couldn't care less if you're releasing video games right now or not. I'll just reel these out. We have July the 11th, Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age is coming out on PS4. Final Fantasy XII. God, what's that? Is that a remake or something?
It's got to be. It's got to be a remake because, I mean, Final Fantasy XV just...
Yeah, which I'd like to play Final Fantasy 15. I'm overdue for getting a copy of that. I need to do that. And then also on July the 11th on the Xbox One and PC, Fable Fortune.
Everybody said Fable was dead.
No, this is the card game.
I know. Because
I saw this at E3. There was two British guys there talking to one of the presenters on that E3 Daily Show thing. They sort of like had the comment about, you're trying to keep the Fable franchise alive. And says, yeah, we're doing as best to keep it alive because Fable Legends got buried into a deep hole, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was, these are Lionhead?
But I think they used to be Lionhead Studios people, yeah.
Yeah, Lionhead Studio developers. Microsoft said, go ahead, you guys can finish out the IP and make it as an idea at Xbox game. My thing with this is, I'm all for card games, but it's not Gwent, and Gwent is the only card game I'm interested in playing. Gwent
really?
Is great. If you have not played Gwent, Gwent is great.
Did you ever play Hearthstone?
I did not play Hearthstone, I freely admit. But you should check.
I would say if you're interested in a card game, you're missing a trick there, Greg. Hearthstone is extremely accessible. It's worth, and it's free to play. It's worth.
Okay.
Get it loaded up and have a go, mate. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
I will do that. I will give Hearthstone a try. I will also say Gwent right now is still in beta, so you can download the free beta, I believe, on Xbox, and they've made a lot of improvements to it, so it's not the same game that you played in The Witcher 3.
No, because I played Gwent in The Witcher 3, and personally I thought it sucked ass.
Well, you and I can stop talking.
Well, I did at first, but once I got the idea of it and the gist of it, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. The main premise is still there, though, right? You can lose the first hand, win the next two, and you still win the whole game.
Right.
There's a lot of strategy to it. But anyway...
Good. Okay. We have some monthly freebies here. Games with Gold, Xbox One. We have Grow Up, which I think I might give that a go. I went back to Grow Home a second time, and I loved it. The first time I didn't think much of it, but I went back to it to finish it. Turned out my son had deleted my save file, so I had to start over again. And I thought it was an adorable game. I loved it. So I think I'll give Grow Up a go. Runbow is on there as well, available from July 16th. I have no idea what that is.
I think, and I could be wrong, I don't know about Grow Up, but I believe Runbow is actually a new game that they're releasing out through the program. Okay. So every once in a while, you know, you see, you know, a new game getting, you know, dished out on one of these services.
Grow Up's a new game as well. It launched on the free service.
Okay.
I remember him saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's already been out on PC, but I think for the Xbox One, Grow Up released on the day that it went on Games with Gold.
Yeah, Rambo, I'm just having a quick look on Steam here. It looks like multiplayer chaos on screen. I don't know. That looks like it might be worth checking out. Also, we have on the Xbox 60, Kane Lynch 2. That sucks ass, as most people...
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I was not impressed by it. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's not as bad as I recall, but I think at the time I felt like there were other shooters out there, you know, third-person action shooters that were... They just did it better.
Right.
So.
Sorry, just to interrupt. I had the Twitch chat running. My Twitch chat seems to have disappeared. So if anybody is keeping an eye on that, anything that's worth saying. Lego Pirates of the Caribbean from July 16th. So that's an okay Lego game.
Yeah,
it's not the worst.
I enjoyed that one, yeah.
Yep, I enjoyed it. Finished it. It was good. PS Plus, Until Dawn.
I'm looking forward to
playing
that.
I'm supposed to play that. Am I supposed to play that? I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to play that.
Yeah, I think you should play it.
I think that was on my radar, something I'm supposed to play.
This is the one that was the horror game, but you had choices.
Yeah.
It's not the spiritual successor to... What's the
it's
one?
Kinda like heavy, it's like Heavy Rain. Yeah, it is. It's kind of like Heavy Rain, but it's a horror setting.
All right.
Give it a shot. Come on.
I will give it a shot. Was it released on Xbox?
No.
It's PS4 exclusive. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember.
How come Greg knows so much about it?
The Boss Wave guys. I've heard them. It was on sale recently, and all the Boss Wave guys had bought it, and now it's free, so I bet they're sort of like a bit annoyed at that. I know Richard and Cross bought it recently in Pilch. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. They're a different class over there. They have no idea what they're doing. Game of Thrones, the Telltale series, is coming out on PS4. I don't know if that received...
I played the first one on Xbox. I didn't really enjoy it that much.
It was a Telltale game too far. I don't know. That's from what I understood.
Yeah.
Tokyo Jungle on the PlayStation 3, which
that's
is a cracking
insane.
Little game.
Yeah, that's insane, is that, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's well worth checking out. That's proper Japanese madness. Yeah. You just
you start off as a small animal and you have to keep beating other animals to get bigger, so you eventually become like a lion or a bear or I don't know. It's mental.
It's not an easy game, but it's for free. It's well worth checking out just to see it. Darkstalkers Resurrection is, I think, a fighter. So that's not really my thing. Element 4i. I looked for this. I couldn't even find it in the store. So I don't know whether I'm missing
it. I think it's PS Vita only.
Yeah, but it's cross-play, so you should be able to play it on the,
is it
on cross-play? The PlayStation 4. Yeah.
Is it? Is it?
Or is it not?
I don't think this one is. I think the other one is.
Oh, then it's Don't Die, Mr. Robot is the one I should be looking for.
Yeah.
No. I think Don't... usually they have two. Whatever. Okay, cool. Moving along, playdates, anything happening? Playdates is sort of, I've dropped right off on the playdates thing. Yeah, there's
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Hey everyone, guess what?
24/7
going on.
Just
probably
join
going
to
be around 6 o'clock tomorrow morning when I wake up to play with Gary DeFelici. So if you can make that one at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. Eastern. And also there's a playdate for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds going on in about 10 minutes. So if you can make that one, that'd be great.
Shorts optional.
Yeah, it's optional. Yolg.
Would you like me to cover the Yolg?
Would you mind, Greg?
Yes. Would you like me to do this in a voice, or should I just do this in...
whatever you see fit.
The Yolg is a very important... Oh, I can't do that. Sorry. I just can't. I was going to try. I can't.
I thought you'd at least try a Mexican-Irish.
Mexican-Irish? Yeah, I can't do that one.
No, give me that one.
All right, anyway, so Yolg, this is our year of living gamelessly. Basically, this is the torture fest where we say, you know what, create a list of 30 games from your backlog, play them out over the course of a year, and share all the games that you complete over that course of a year by tweeting out to the podcast at @OC_podcast on Twitter. Use the hashtag YOLG and also include the hashtag victory achieved. And we'll not only include you in on the Year of Living Gamelessly list, but we'll include you in on our Victory Achieved contest. So every basically quarter, we select somebody to win $20 in either PSN or Xbox Live or the Steams. And if you're over in the UK, just subtract 5. It's £15. So I don't believe we've announced the latest Victory Achieved winner.
No, Robin decided to go on holiday without,
care of that.
Without pulling a winner out.
So yeah, Robin will handle that upon his return from going to Disneyland. Just hang tight. We have everybody. We've got you locked in. The next contest is going to run from July 1st through September 30th.
How many days in September? Have I done that right?
30.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a check.
Do you know the knuckle trick?
No.
All right. So you start with your first one. You say January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. And you figure that out from there. That's how you do it.
Do what?
How does that tell
figure
you?
Figure out if there's 31 or 30 days in a month.
Oh, I do the rhyme.
Oh, see, I can't rhyme. I will never be a rapper.
I look at my phone like a normal person would.
Well, there's that. Okay, here we go. Here are people that achieved greatness by completing Yolg games or non-Yolg games. Mr. Miyagi, 1984, finished Forza Horizon 3. It was a Yolg game. Congratulations. Andy Bandwagon finished Dishonored DLC twice.
Yeah, two DLCs, yeah.
Two DLCs, okay. Yeah, I guess we're going to count that for you, Andy Bandwagon. That was
Andy Babandy.
Andy Babandy, Fafandy, Andy. Batch Gaming finished Crash Bandicoot 2, apparently twice.
No, sorry, Jake. That's wrong. That's, it should be three.
That was a non-y'all game. And Natra79 finished The Last of Us Left Behind. I haven't heard anything. I think that was the... That DLC was, they added on.
No, I liked that because it was it was concentrating more on Ellie. Well, it's not really a spoiler. There's a part of the original game where Joel's badly injured, and this expands on that where you're playing as Ellie trying to get supplies to get his recovery. But it's really good.
Gotcha.
And there's a few flashback moments as well when she was younger.
Okay. Flashbacks completed. Chinny 1985 finished Lara Croft,
The Guardian of Light.
The Guardian of Light. Thank you.
Awesome game. Awesome game.
Yes, very good co-op game.
And he actually finishes with Stu Fowler as his co-op partner. So well done on getting through that without your ears dropping off, Chinny. Well done.
Look at the graphic. Danok TQ finished Deadlight Director's Cut. I haven't seen Tanok's name on here. I'm happy to see him on here again. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mr. Miyagi, 1984, finished Halo Reach, my favorite Halo game. I love the story in Halo Reach. Yes, absolutely loved it.
Story.
Fraser. Harley Dan finished Metro 2033. Another good story.
Yeah, I finished that recently as well. Great game, man.
Yeah. Hutch DBL, by the way, both those were Yolg list games. Hutch DBL finished L.A. Noir, a non-Yolg game. Also, not one of my favorite games. I did not care for L.A. Noir.
I never played that.
No, neither did I.
Yeah. This shining example of greatness, Murphy's Law, finished Wolfenstein, The Old Blood.
That guy is great.
Also, Y'all Game. Yep, yep. Mr. Miyagi, 1984, again, back on finishing Tex Murphy, Overseer.
He actually put in his tweet, he started this 19 years ago. That's how old this game is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Timely. Timely, Mr. Miyagi. Timely. Terraform finished Arma 3, Apex Protocol. Marcanix finished Dead Rising 3. Non-Y'all Game, sorry. But he's
missed
a nice
trick.
Guy.
Missed a trick there.
I know.
He did.
Yeah.
Amaras 89 finished Bravely Second End Layer. And Danok TQ also finished Battlefield 1, which was a nice little collection of short stories.
It's a Y'all Game too.
Yep.
It was a Y'all Game, indeed. Yep, yep. And finally, Colin Allcars finished Final Fantasy 15. Non-Y'all Game, but a big game. So, well done on him.
Well done.
Yes. And jingle that... It. Yeah, jingle it, Mark.
Okay, here we go.
You all have a victory's achieved! Victory's achieved! You have won it! Victory's achieved!
Brutal.
Fun fact, I was on the toilet.
Okay, well, I think that just about wraps it up for the show. Mark, do you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, kind of. So if you want to be part of the conversation, we broadcast weekly on Twitch TV, which is twitch.tv/OC podcast. We are on Mixer. You can get that at mixer.com/OC podcast. And we're also on YouTube. Just search for OC podcast because I don't know what the thing is for that. We broadcast every Saturday at 11 PM UK time, 3 PM West Coast, and 6 PM on the East Coast. You can email the show. The email address is podcast@ocpod.com. You can tweet us on the Twitters @OC_podcast. And that's usually Mr. Bungle the Sane doing the Twitters. But he is on his holidays, so it is between me and Greg this next couple of weeks. So if we are slow at responding, tough shit. Facebook. We're brilliant. On the Facebook.
True story.
Straight
that
up.
That is fb.ocpod.com. We love iTunes reviews, Stitcher reviews, YouTube reviews, so please give us a review if you can. We have clubs on everything. We've got the Xbox One Club, we've got a community on PS4, an OC Podcast group on Steam, and we have, of course, the wonderful Discord OC Podcast server, which everyone is now using, and they have now bowed to its success.
Because they're bowed to you, Mark, yeah, they're bowed to you.
Because they all said it's crap and it wouldn't work.
No, and that's not what we said.
No,
we
didn't say
no. We were just like, oh god, here comes another thing else for us to do. Yeah, another thing. We never said it was crap. Don't put words in our mouths.
Mark is the king, by the way, for those listening. Mark is the king of, ooh, look, new shiny apps.
Yeah, Mark is the king of the shiny
apps. I have to admit, I like doing stuff like, ooh, that's new. So that's Jesus 2.
Let me do an impression of Mark on January the 2nd. Well, I've been playing this game, and I've got to say, this game.
Game of the
could
year.
Possibly be game of the year.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's going to be tough for game of the year this year.
I'm going to start compiling
the top five. The number one's easy. I'm going to start compiling the list already, I think. So yeah, so shout outs. Who's going first? Me even.
Sure.
I want to shout out Robin, who I'm hoping is going to listen to this while he's on his jollies, because I know he's got his phone with him, because we've been seeing pictures of him sweating his buckets off.
What does that mean, while he's on his jollies?
On his holidays.
That sounds dirty.
He's on his holidays. He's on vacation.
Alright.
So yeah, and he's been looking at the Hollywood Walk of Fame today, sent a picture of Matt Damon's star today, so yeah,
nice.
He's having the time of his life, lucky man. And everyone who plays PUBG and all the banter what goes with it in the WhatsApp group, it's awesome and I love it. So over to you, Greg.
Alright, I'm going to give some shout outs to people in the chat tonight. Night Raven 19, Hardly Dan, Ring God Zippo. We had... I know we had a few others jump in here.
Come on,
don't want to talk about... RCGC was in there. We had Sean Sun 8 in there. And I,
Martin.
Oh, Martin.
Yep.
Martin jumped in. And Baron Von Glower also. Head Chefalon alert.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that sums it up. So shout out to all you guys. Thanks for jumping in and being part of the chat. We do love the participation. Dan Natman, keep an eye out. You may just get an invite. I'm just saying. Keep your ear close to the ground, right next to the keyboard. You hear it clicking away. That could be happening for next week. You know why? Because I'm going to be meeting Robin next week. So that's the other big shout out. I get to meet Robin in person. I'm going to rape him.
Raise his face. And
that escalated quickly.
Yeah, no. No, I'm really looking forward to it. We've got a really fun time planned. We're
going to
go see Alcatraz, prison. It all fits. I'm telling you, man.
All right.
Anyway, no, looking forward to meeting him and his lovely family and just sharing some vino.
Dude, you need help.
What? Yeah, okay. I do need help. All right. I think I should stop now. Crazy. Okay.
On that bombshell, which has absolutely left me speechless. okay, I'll do a shout out. Thanks to everyone, all the crew, particularly you guys, for being here today. And absence certainly does make the heart grow fonder. It's a real hoot tonight. It was great. Good laugh. Robin, I hope you're having a great trip. We miss you, of course, and hope you fulfill your destiny of eating as much as you're going to eat while you're away. Shout out to everyone in the PUBG community who we've got going on. If you want to get on board and when you are sitting there playing the game solo, you are missing out on a spectacular, you've heard me say already, but come on, don't be afraid. Come and join, give us a shout, get in contact with Mark or myself, and jump on board. The more the merrier. We're somebody's always on there, and it's great fun. Thank you everyone who involved, who has provided me with this massive amount of entertainment. And a shout out to my family, wife and kids in England, who, of course, I miss.
Of course.
Yeah.
Stay
yeah.
long.
Stay
not
long.
Not quite yet. I'm not quite missing them yet. I've been lying.
Not yet.
I'm not lying. I'm missing them yet. I will. Give me another week and a half.
Give me about another week and a half. Come on.
I'm getting there. So, good. All right, then let's get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes and bloopers. See you same time next week.
On time, motherfuckers!
Lovely faces.
That was tough.
Mark, do you need me to fill in what I've been playing?
No. I can pretty much guess.
That obvious, huh?
Yeah, when I do get a chance to play Battlegrounds, I can't because my son's on it.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
We don't want you whatever. Anymore. Jay is top notch. We like playing with Jay.
Yeah, no, he's good, isn't he? I want me anymore, Jay. I want you.
I'm not Jay's surprised.
Like, yeah, I was just going to say, Jay's like probably like, duh.
He says, I'm not surprised.
Awesome. No, he's a good lad. He was good to play with, for sure.
It was, but it's a shock when they see your name pop up when I kill someone.
Cheeky fucker.
And they realise it's not you.
Feel free to leave out the botched raid on the naked dandies off South Chintoon.
Yeah, they didn't go very well. So many stories.
Robin's in there.
What?
Is he in there?
No, Robin's on holiday. That's Greg. In North America. Robin's meeting up with Greg.
No, you can call me Robin.
Greg's the old-looking one.
Hey, fucker. I heard that. It's getting better. What did you put on your toast?
Hummus.
All right, okay. A little hummus.
You like hummus, Mark?
I don't even know where it is. I've heard of it. I don't know where it is.
Mark, we got it. We've got to all get you out into the big wide world.
Yes, hummus.
It's like chickpea paste.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people like will grind up garbanzo beans, and then they'll have something with it. Yeah, garbanzo beans. What email did you send it to? Question mark.
Period.
Goddamn periods! I swear to God, I say period, and it always spells it out. And of course, I'm too lazy to really actually read through the text messages that I'm sending, so I never bother to look at
now
it.
Now we know it's not so bad, yes. But the first few times it's like, what is he talking about? Okay, I got it.
Never mind, Fraser was being a twat.
He just came in.
Are you doing the Game of Thrones podcast tomorrow with Gary?
No. Fuck that guy.
I can't remember much. Well, I can, but I can't. I can't remember my minor details anymore. It's been that long. Probably an advert.
I muted.
No, yeah, I'm hearing myself talk.
Right, you're going to shut up now, Greg, so I can play the game.
Ooh, that's fighting dog.
Lord.
I thought it. He said it.
Right, play up.
Nice, yeah, one. I suppose that proclamation...
That's awesome.
But my first option, which would have been just Robin would have hated me, was I found that not far from the hotel we're staying at is a I think they coined it as an official or an authentic Irish pub and restaurant.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I so wanted to take him to that, but I'm you know, not going to go there. Yeah, the Warner Brothers tour was kind of, that was a funny situation. He had called and asked me to help step in because he was having a hard time communicating with the tour people because they could not understand what Robin was saying because of his accent. And I'm like, well, Robin's accent's not that bad, but I think it was a bad phone connection on top of it. But my plan, though, is to pretty much drink a ton with Robin.
Good.
Yeah. We will probably do a speak pipe at some point in time Friday night. It will be pretty drunk, I'm guessing. And Robin's like, you know, we don't do cocktails a lot or whatever. And I'm like, tequila. go play some Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
I am not going to go do that.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I've got painting to do. I gotta do that later. God damn it. I haven't finished my podcast. I should have finished that first.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
We don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.